Yes, we're on air, cranking it up. Cranking it up. Do you remember how that feels to crank it up? I mean, Arsenal forgotten how to do it. Temporarily, of course. Anyway, Alex is with us. He's not on whatever it's called, the dashboard. Wait a second, you're a listener. You're a listener, but
hey.
So yeah, maybe you are. Maybe you are.
Right,
okay, maybe that, yeah, that's good. But the drum beat's getting on my nerves, so let's stop that. Okay, right, that was not very smooth at all. But anyway, the good news is I can use my mic to talk into, and you can, you've got your own little icon there, your fizzy icon, Alex. So volume's not great, though, if truth be told, but... Yeah, can you crank yourself up a little bit? It's my buzzword, I think, for today is crank. I was feeling very cranky after the Brighton result, even though it wasn't a disaster by any means. I was feeling pretty cranky, not in a good mood. So, how about you? How did you feel after that? Weren't a debacle, was it?
No, it wasn't a debacle. Is that a bit louder?
Yeah, that is much better. Yeah.
Okay, I think basically I just put the phone right next to my mouth. The performance wasn't obviously what we wanted. I think we're all a little bit sort of heady, if you will, after the Spurs game. And I think, you know, of a decent team, you know, they were doing quite well. And I think Arsenal... Yeah, they consider themselves reasonably fortunate to get a draw based on how they played. But I think there's an element of tactics behind it. Overall, I can't be too upset because, you know, it's another clean sheet. Defensively, we looked reasonably solid. And as well, I have to say, no team in the league this year has won four games in a row. So... You know, that just goes to show you how difficult the league is, really. So I think maybe our expectations were a little high. And, you know, like I said, we didn't play very well. It's to be expected when we have a team full of youngsters. You know, you're going to get inconsistent performances. You're going to get performances where they don't turn up or it doesn't work or, you know, things like that. And I think this was one of those. I will say this. I think tactically, I think Arsenal were a little bit outthought. Arteta must have known that Brighton were going to have a high press, and they did. And it didn't seem to me that he had a counter plan for that. And I think he's been found out a little bit, you know, when we play against Liverpool. You know, when we play against, you know, City, certainly, but I think, you know, City can beat you in a thousand ways. But I think, you know, he doesn't seem to have a great plan for that sometimes. And certainly for me, it was evident that whatever tactics they played, and, you know, you'd say this is a new team. You know, we've got six new players. But what I saw was they pressed really high. Our midfielders, Partey and Lokonga, didn't come deep to pick up the ball. And so Ramsdale went long. And Ramsdale alluded to this. And he didn't blame anyone. But I don't know if you saw his comments after the game. He said, oh, my passing was a bit off. We had to go long. And unless the ball's straight to feet, you know, we lost the ball off more often than not. And the reason why he had to go long was because Partey and Lokonga both weren't coming deep enough to pick up the ball. Now, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I think it's true. Xhaka would have been that guy. Xhaka would have, you know more than most, Joe. I'm not the biggest fan, but I think that is one of the things he does offer. And I think that was our downfall. And I think Arteta, you know, will work on this, and I hope he does work on this, because that was why we never got started. That was why, you know, the possession, it was like 60-40, wasn't it? Which, you know, it would be nice if it was higher, but it wasn't like a complete mauling. But one thing I would like to, you know, add as a positive was they had lots of shots, but they only had two shots on target. That's as many shots on target as we had. And when you word it like that, you go, well, okay, yes, they had more of the possession. Yes, Arsenal didn't turn up from an offensive standpoint. And there was that chance with Smith Rowe, wasn't there? Where, you know, in hindsight, he should have squared it to Saka. But, you know, he's young. He's going to make mistakes. So I'm not going to dwell on that. And I think that would have been a proper smash and grab if we had scored then. But I think that was it. For me, that's my sort of analysis of it. It was they pressed really high and Arsenal, for whatever reason, couldn't beat their press. And there are ways around it. Like, you look at... now, Arteta wants us to be Man City. And if you look at... I don't know if you watched the Man City-Liverpool game on Sunday. It was an absolute joy to watch. The game itself... It was everything that's right with English football. The two best teams, maybe Chelsea will argue with that, but for me, the two best teams over the last few years, definitely. And the first half, City they were just phenomenal. And what happened was Liverpool pressed, and City were very confident, very happy to play around it. They tinkered their formation a little bit, and it was a little bit beyond my sort of knowledge, but. They did something in the first 15 minutes to basically stop Liverpool pressing as effectively. I think they were just a bit quicker with the ball. And I can't remember exactly what it was, but they tinkered something. And the guys I was watching it on, I wasn't watching it on Sky. I was watching it on something else, BN Sport or whatever. I can't remember. And when Pep made that change 15 minutes in, City...
you're back.
And
so you were saying you made a change, and then City did what? Because you cut out after that.
City just dominated the game after that. City just absolutely, and they should have scored. And then second half, honestly, Foden, like some of the football they were playing was just beautiful. And then the second half, it was a lot more end to end. It was a bit more open, and Liverpool came back into it. And I thought maybe City deserved to. Win, but certainly that they might be a bit annoyed that they didn't win, but it was really good. And the point I'm trying to make is that City managed to beat Liverpool's press pretty easily. And once they sort of did this sort of tinkering, Liverpool stopped pressing as much. And they stopped pressing it effectively. And you could see their heads dropped a little bit in terms of their ability. They were kind of like, oh, this press isn't working. Yeah, they were like, this press is not working. And I think that's what Arsenal somehow need to have. Neto will hopefully work on this, you know, this ability to sort of counteract the high press. Because, you know, Brighton, they worked it very well. And Brighton did everything but score, from what I could gather.
Yeah, they played pretty well, Brighton, but they weren't amazing. I watching the game, it was pretty dull, I have to say. But Arsenal could have nicked a goal. They could have nicked a goal. Who was it? The guy, I never pronounce his name right, Ober. I finally got it. Yay! But Ober, he actually hit the post with an effort. It wasn't a particularly good one, but it was... Yeah, so obviously that could have gone in. So that's one chance. And as you mentioned, there was the Smith Rowe. I think it was Pepe in the middle who was screaming for the ball, but I don't know if Smith Rowe could have got it to him, to be honest. Do you think it was Saka? Yeah, whoever it was. But anyway, he made the decision he made, and I didn't think it was that bad. But yeah, another shot on target.
Yeah, the thing is, if he'd scored, we wouldn't be having this conversation, would he? So, but
yeah, that's it. Well, it would have been a smash and grab. Smash and grab, maybe.
And I think it's important that we have the youngest team. They'll learn from it. There'll be days like this, and you know, if you listen to the pundits, and that's always a bit of a double-edged sword, but if you listen to the pundits, you know, even Anna Smith said, you know, you have days like this, we move on, you know what I mean? And I think it was like that. You know, Arsenal a year ago would have probably lost that.
Yeah, more than right. Without Ramsdale in goal, I would have expected Arsenal to lose
that. That save that he made near the end was like an interception save, wasn't it?
Yeah, was that the one he sort of clawed it away, or, you know, yeah, it was a strange save.
Yeah, well, it wasn't. He jumped across. Got it. Very Seaman. You remember Seaman against Sheffield United? It had shades of that. But he, rather than sacking the shot, he intercepted the pass because he knew. I think it was Mopay or Morpay, whatever his name is, the French lad. He was left on his own. And it was fantastic save. Like, it really was. And I think defensively, we are looking a little bit more solid. I think, again, Ben White and Gabriel had a good game. You know, Gabriel lost a tooth for the second time playing Brighton.
They're rough and tough, really.
I think, you know, Arteta definitely wouldn't have said to the boys at the beginning, right, we've got three big lumpy centre-halves that Aubameyang's going to play against. Let's fucking launch the ball up to him because he's definitely going to... Do you know what I mean? It was... Arsenal didn't know how to counteract the press, and I think that's something that Arteta needs to work on because we didn't get started, really. People go, oh, yeah, we didn't score. We didn't look very attacking. Well, we didn't win the midfield. They bossed the midfield. So if you're not bossing the midfield or you're not counteracting the press... Yeah, or getting your foot on the ball and playing the football that we want to play, then of course attacking that we're not going to do. There's no surprise that attacking we were weak because we didn't have much of the fucking ball, and when we did have the ball, it wasn't we had periods of possession or anything like that. So I think the weather didn't help. Obviously they the weather was the same for them, so it doesn't really work as an excuse. But I think,
it suits the team like Brighton more than Arsenal. I would say that, because I don't know how you felt at any level when you're playing against a team that are actually technically worse than you. If it's a leveler, really, if the conditions are terrible, you can't really rely on skill to get you out of jail because it's a level. It's kind of a level playing field in a way, and it was just apparently. I mean, obviously. I wasn't there. It was a swirling wind. Conditions were pretty awful. And Arsenal traditionally played, well, not traditionally if you go back to the 70s, but if you go, since the Wenger years, Arsenal were never really done well in those conditions. Not very often. I'm trying to think when they have. And it's rare. So I was looking at it in that way. I'm not so unhappy with the draw, but it was the performance again. The performance was this. Left a lot to be desired aside from Ramsdale. Ramsdale I was really happy with. The two centre-backs that you mentioned, pretty happy with them too. The right-back weren't quite as good, but he was okay, not too bad. But the rest of the team.
You threw in, the players were worth. Nobody told the players, right, this is what we need to do. Brighton are pressing, this is what you need to do. So if the players don't know how to sort of do it, then what can we expect them to do? That does come from Arteta. And I think Arteta maybe doesn't know at the minute. And that's something he needs to work out. Because certainly, there's a fair few teams that do play the high press. So what can he do tactically? And, maybe he watched City and he'll get some ideas from it. But I think performance, when you say the word performance, it's very sort of... It's a bit vague for me. Yes, the end result wasn't the desired one, but like I said, if you took a draw at the if you took at the beginning of September three wins and a draw, and we beat Spurs, most Arsenal fans would have snapped your hands off. Right, we can both agree on that. Yes, you know what I mean. So I think that's a factor that we have to sort of take into account. I think if you said, occasionally, Arteta's not the finished article as a manager, which he isn't. And we've discussed about him learning from his mistakes at Arsenal's expense. And I hope to God he learns from his mistake, because I think we're playing Liverpool at the end of, is it this month or the end of next month?
Not too far away. Is it Liverpool?
We've got at Anfield. I know. I think it is the end of November. I'll just have a quick look. So we've got that. So I think that's the next time that he'll be tested. He'll be playing against a better team, a more organised, sort of more established team. And I think as well, we do have to take this into account. We have the youngest team, it's a new team, and you're going to have bad days. And so to get a draw I'm not buying into. I'm trying not to go on Twitter. That's probably the worst thing you can do. But I'm trying not to sort of, yeah, it's not the end of the world and try to be down. I don't think they're going to get rid of Arteta anytime soon. Maybe at the end of the year, but I'm not even buying. Yeah, at the end of the season, sorry, but I'm not buying that particularly. So just looking at the fixtures now, we've got Palace at home. For me, that's a winnable game. They're no mugs, but a winnable game. And then, fixtures have really fucked us over. Fucking Sky. We play Monday night, and then we play Friday night against Villa.
Monday, wait a second. So Monday night is Villa, is it?
No, Monday night's Palace. And then
on Monday night's Palace. Monday
the 18th is Palace. So we're the last game of that game week, and then we're the first game of the next game week. Yeah, it's 4 days, but I think it's a slight advantage because we play Leeds 4 days later in the Carabao Cup, and then we play Leicester at the end of the month. And then the following weekend, we play Watford, and then there's the international break, and then we play Liverpool away November the 20th. So up until this international break, again, Arsenal's really got to be wanting to get 10 points, isn't it? Really minimum. Especially three home games, Villa, Palace, Watford. Leicester away will be difficult. I know we beat them last year and they seem to be a bit, stagnating this year. They don't, Rodgers hasn't pushed on. I think they're even below us, or they're very close to us in the table. You know, there's not much difference between us. But that's a game that we want to sort of, we could win. We could equally easily lose. But that's certainly, again, before we play Liverpool, that's another 10, 12 points. And if we get 10, 12 points on the board, that pushes us closer up the table. And I think, though, the big thing is, looking forward, is all of those games, bar Leicester, are at home. And
so really, you'd expect 10 points from 5 games, looking at
the
fixture list.
But
it doesn't mean we'll get it.
No, tactically, we're going to have to do something different because we're going to have to be offensively better. Because you know that those teams are going to sit there, park the bus, apart from Leicester, who will come at us, and that sometimes benefits Arsenal because you can counter-attack them. Watford, Villa, maybe not Villa so much because I think Villa, they've got a bit of confidence about them. But Palace and Watford, I suspect, especially Watford, because they're in a bit of free-for-all at the minute, I suspect those teams will come in, park the bus, and say to Arsenal, well, go on then, break us down. And that's a concern because I don't know how, it's a different challenge for Arsenal. One that, we haven't particularly passed with flying colours. Apart from against Spurs.
Arsenal could produce that sort of performance more frequently, then obviously Arsenal would be near the top of the table. I mean, I watched quite a few games or bits of games, and I didn't really see, the two teams I didn't see were Man City and Liverpool, but the other teams, they all look there for the taking, as far as I can see. I thought Arsenal on their day are better than all of those teams. Well, maybe with the exception of Chelsea as well. So who are better than Arsenal? Chelsea, Liverpool, Man City. The others are not, in my opinion, if Arsenal are on their game, they can beat all of the other teams, all of them.
But
how often are they going to be on their game? As we know, as you rightly said, with this young team, it's going to be a roller coaster ride. It's going to be an up and down season. I can see that. There are going to be some really high highs and some extreme, I don't want to say extremely low lows. I'm hoping that's not going to happen because Ramsdale might stop that from happening. That's what's so great about having a goalkeeper of his calibre coming in, settles everybody down. It's like, even when I was watching the game, in the back of my mind, I honestly thought, I don't really think Brighton will score. They might nick a goal, but, they're huffing and puffing. But Ramsdale looks like, he's pretty hard to beat. Well, his stats tell us that already, don't they? Three clean sheets out of 4 games. It's pretty special, really. coming in the way he has, under the pressure he has, you know, not everybody wanted him at Arsenal. I mean, I was ambivalent, really. I didn't know. I had no idea about this guy because I thought, well, he's coming in and he must be good because England selected him for their squad. But I haven't seen enough of him to really say. He's winning all the plaudits, this guy. He's doing everything right. He's doing everything right on and off the pitch, which is remarkable, really, for somebody to come in like that and take the place of Leno, who's been a decent keeper most of the time. But a lot. I was listening to the Grove. They were really making me laugh as they usually do. But one of them was moaning about Leno. He said, "How dare Leno? How dare Leno go around complaining about not being in the team? The bloke shipped in 9 goals." You know, he was totally losing it, but it was cracking me up listening to it. It did make me laugh. They've got a really funny take on everything, you know. So, but yeah, Leno, what do you make of Leno? And, you know, whinging in the background and claiming that he's not been told when Arteta said, I spoke to him 48 hours before the game and I let him know that he wasn't playing and I told him why. And he said, "No, keeping it. I'm not gonna say any more than that." But Leno's been, he lives in Whinge City, that guy, at the moment. What are your thoughts?
I think he's a thoughts. I get it. Like, you, for a start, you want your players to be upset that they're not playing. Yeah. If he wasn't complaining, then you'd go, "Oh, why is he not playing?" I think, you know, like a lot of people, he's probably focusing on the positives, which of there were very few. But he's probably focusing on the positives as opposed to the negatives of, you know, his however long in goal he was, you know, that, you know, those 3 games. I think it's a bit rich, but, you know, I can see why he's probably thinking, if I complain, I might be able to put pressure on the manager and I might get to play again. He might be thinking that, you don't know. Trying to work out the mind of a footballer, as vacuous as it is at times, it's a fool's errand, isn't it? So, yeah, I think he hasn't got much of a leg to stand on, and I think he's probably been as surprised as anyone at how well
Ramsdale's played. Yeah, I think that's what you were saying there.
he can't be going. He must be going, "Are you fucking kidding me? This lad, everyone's flagging off. Everyone thought he was
shit.
He's
a phenomenon."
Yeah, he's having a phenomenal time. And he looks, you know, say it, he looks better in the English league and more suited to England than Leno does. Because, you know, Ramsdale hasn't been bullied yet. Well, I'm not saying he's never going to be bullied. He might be bullied later on. But he doesn't strike me as the sort of player that's easily bullied. Whereas Leno, against Brentford and a few other games, he got bullied. So, and it's good for competition as well. This is something that the Grove mentions regularly. You know, you want players competition. If you don't have competition, they get lazy and stagnant. If they know that they're going to play every week, regardless of how shit they do in training, regardless of how shit they play, then why are those players going to play well? What is their motivation? So, you know, I think I'm more than happy for, what's it called? For, if Leno's genuinely upset, it's like, "Well, good, show me that you deserve it." He might play in the league, cup, Carabao Cup, whatever the fuck it's called, in a week or whenever it is. I doubt it, because I think Arteta wants to keep this consistency going, and I think he wants to keep this motivation going and momentum. Sorry, that's the word I'm looking for, not motivation. He wants to keep that going, so I suspect he won't play, but, you know, it's not your time now. You had your chance. And, you know, partly because of, you know, not just his fault, I think that's important to say, but it's like, well, no, you can't really moan too much that we bought another player, he's played well, and now you're not in the squad. Well, that's the nature of football. Leno knows that more than anyone. You know, he's a seasoned pro. What is he, 25, 26? He knows that. So yeah, I think it's a bit rich. So I think it's a bit rich, but yeah, as long as Ramsdale keeps playing well, and remember, Ramsdale will make a mistake, and he made a mistake against Brighton. If you remember, he had a bit of a clanger and they should have scored, really, shouldn't they?
I thought he sort of made up for it. I mean, I've gone a bit vague on this Brighton game, to be honest, even though I watched it all. I felt like my eyes were double glazed watching it. It was it was misty. It was just, even though I could see what was going on, it was just, I couldn't get engaged with that game as much, obviously, as a Spurs game. So, obviously, we always say, don't we, after a big game like that, it's a case of after the Lord Mayor's show, and it really felt like that. Not the entire game. I mean, Arsenal had moments when I thought, oh, they're playing quite well, and then it didn't seem to last long. I just feel it's almost like the game passed me by. But one thing that didn't pass me by is I thought, yeah, Ramsdale played well, but he wasn't totally infallible. But whenever he made a mistake, he looked like, you know, he still wasn't going to get beaten. And I don't know how he managed to look like that. I have no idea. But he just seemed to do it. Really, he's got a presence.
He has.
I think that's what it is.
He has. You see him with the players. He's aggressive with the players, which I like.
Yeah.
You know, I want my goalkeeper to bollock my players. You know, so I like that about Ramsdale. There's lots of things to like about him. There really are quite a lot of things to like about the lad. You know, not just his ability, but like his personality. He bollocks the players. He gets them organised. And, you know, and I think he's got the right attitude as well. Like he strikes me as someone that is willing to learn and willing to listen. And I think that's the advantage of having young players. And Arteta, you know, he knows that he needs to sort of, you know, develop these players to have any fighting chance of keeping his job, doesn't he? But these players need to, they'll get a bit of a pass. And I think Arteta's bought himself, maybe tactically, he's bought himself a bit of a time to, you know, develop the players. But he knows he's got to turn up. And because, you know, if he does leave earlier than planned, any manager coming in will be fucking rubbing his hands because he's got, you know, a big squad of young players that want to play and have got ability. But, you know, if we talk about the right back, Tomiyasu, he had a bit of a stinker. He had, I think, the full back for Brighton had murdered him a few times.
Oh, yeah. Like, the Cucurecci, I'm calling him. What's his name?
Yeah,
I'm looking him up. Cucurella.
Yeah, he's
Spanish. He's got one cap, isn't he? Was that? I think I heard him say that. Yeah, he looked a decent player, Cucurella. I like calling him that because it means cockroach. But the cockroach was crawling all over. Poor old Tommy. Tommy wasn't quite as super as usual, but yeah, it was. I didn't think it was that bad. He's not getting criticism that I've seen. But, yeah, it was. Was he not getting enough help from Saka? Because Saka was playing right wing, wasn't he, most of the time?
Yeah, I think that could be a factor. And I think that must have been a factor. Yeah, if you see your fullbacks getting murdered, a good winger, I played with a lad, and I don't want to say his name because he used to annoy me, but he was very good at it. He was brilliant. Like, he could see me getting murdered at fullback, and he would purposely go, right, I'll track back a bit more. And it meant it was harder for him to have an attacking presence. But sometimes, you know, you read the flow of the game, didn't you? And he was good at that. Arteta's kind of got himself a get out jail free card for this year. I think, you know, arguably, After this season, it'd be interesting to see where we are. I think top four, I don't think top four is completely out of our reach, just based on what you said. You know, none of those teams, apart from the three that we mentioned, are better than Arsenal on the day. It's that consistency. And, of course, with kids, you're not going to have that consistency straight away. But I think that's what Arteta's got to strive for. He's got to strive for that consistency. And Arteta has to help them out as well. And that, like I said, and I'll repeat myself happily, when your tactics aren't working, you change it. Pep changed it after 15 minutes and they dominated that first half, the rest of the first half against a very good Liverpool. And Klopp knew, and Klopp had to, at halftime, Klopp fucking ran down the tunnel. Because he was waiting, because he knew what he had to say to the players. And then Liverpool came out and It was back and forth. It was such a great advertisement for football. And that's what Arteta needs to be able to do. Be able to, you know, make changes in game, because if he's going to play like Man City, and, you know, we don't have the players or the finances of Man City, he's got to be almost better than Pep in some regards.
Yeah, I'll see his point on that. Because I've seen sort of young growing teams in the past, and yeah, you know the fans always get the ump when the chips are down, which is that's how fans are generally, because they don't see the process or the project or whatever you want to call it. Yeah, that's what another one just mentioned, the Grove again. One, the guy said, Ozil's a bit quiet now though. I mean, you noticed ever since the results started turning, where's Ozil's comments about the process? What happened to that? I was cracking up. Yeah. They were really slamming him.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, he has gone totally quiet. He only gives out these little heart shaped icons when Arsenal are losing, and like he's making fun.
Yeah.
It's shocking, really.
It's just a lack of class, really. It's a bit of a why do you care? You left. And we paid you for the rest of your time. You know what I mean? You didn't lose out any money. So it's just classless. And it's just kind of like, well, in my eyes, it looks bad on you that you're commenting. Like, nobody else is asking you your opinion. Nobody else really cares what you think. Or, obviously Twitter. So, you have this fucking vacuum of stupidity, don't you? But, it's just kind of like you look bad when you comment on it. No one else is going, And it's just kind of, and you've got the people that are anti-Arteta out. And, I still don't know where I stand really now with Arteta out, because I think the club's not going to listen to us. I think they've basically attached themselves to Arteta and gone, look, we're sticking with him. Whatever the fuck you think, we're sticking with him for the foreseeable. You might as well support him. And, while he's in charge, there's lots of positives. So I'm not jumping up and down on the bandwagon about this result. There's a few things, and hopefully Arteta knows, what he can do to sort of make sure this doesn't happen often. I think against Liverpool, I just think they're too good for us and they'll fucking smash us. But hopefully we don't embarrass ourselves like we did against City.
Yeah, that was shocking. That was really shocking. Yeah, I would, looking at those fixtures ahead, I'd take 10 points and a defeat against Liverpool, because I don't...
First four.
Of course I don't want to lose to Liverpool, but, it does seem like it's destined to happen, really. I can't see it any other way. Yeah, those fixtures, none of them are easy, as we found out at Brighton, but, Palace at home, it's going to be a tough 3 points, but it should be doable. Villa at home, same goes. How they managed to lose against Spurs, I have no idea, though. I watched quite a lot of that game, and I could not see Spurs winning that. I didn't really see that. Because Spurs were rubbish. Spurs were absolute rubbish. How did they beat Villa? I just don't understand that. I mean, I didn't see the whole game, but I saw big chunks of it. Did you see that?
I watched the whole game. Just trying to remember if I saw the first goal. I certainly saw Villa's goal, and then a minute later, Spurs scored, and I was like, oh, they've won. But Villa looked all right. Villa aren't mugs.
I'm seeing that as a tough game, really. Villa at home.
It won't be, and I think they've got better this year, because this is their third season in the Premiership. So I think they have got better.
Yeah. Buendia is he's mostly on the bench. I think he was on the bench against Spurs, not sure. But he has been on the bench a lot. So everybody was moaning, weren't they? Do you remember moaning and groaning? Oh, Arsenal should have brought Buendia. Arsenal were genuinely interested. I think both of us had our doubts that Arsenal's interest was really genuine, because obviously it was Odegaard.
Yeah.
Well, talking of Odegaard, somebody in the media said his performance was pretty pretty shocking. He got taken off. He didn't look very happy to get taken off in that game. Did you see anything of him or read any reports? I didn't think he was shocking. I just thought he was a bit quiet, that was all. It's the same with a lot of the players. I didn't think any of the players were shocking. I really didn't. You know, and getting a draw away, there is something to be said for it. Brighton are very near the top of the league at the moment. So, then, as you said, no mugs. And it's never going to be easy in those conditions as well. I'm not trying to make excuses for the players. Of course, I'm disappointed they didn't manage to win and they didn't show a lot of flair, but they worked relatively hard. And no one, to me, was terrible. You know, I've seen a lot worse performances, even from the guy that's now injured and we're upset about. You know, I mean, I was upset too. You know, I don't want him getting injured. Of course I don't. You know, the one who will remain nameless until I burst out with his name. You know, it's just... But I'm not convinced that he would have made a difference in that game, to be honest. Even though, yes, I hear what you're saying about if Xhaka played, then Ramsdale would have another outball, if you like. He would. I mean, I can't deny that because he gets in quite good position, Xhaka. That I have to give him some credit. Reluctantly, I would say. But he gets in quite good positions. And I've always liked him. You know, he's very sort of naturally defensive, which is a good quality to have.
He likes to sit. And I think if you think back to the Spurs game, the second goal, that was Ramsdale to him.
That's right. There was a touch of luck about it, I have to say, but it's still his involvement, and I can't deny it. I mean, what really cracks me up, though, is when I listen to people trying to... Well, LeGrove don't, and they're not exactly in love with him, are they? Let's be honest. So they've probably got a similar view to us. I'm not sure, but that's what it sounds like. But when I hear people trying to say that what he offers the team, it's almost like I hear the sort of tumbleweed blowing, you know. And yeah, he brings so much to the team. And then the first thing they mention, tactical fouling. He's really good at fouling in a tactical way. And I just thought, I can't deny that's true. Yes, I agree that Xhaka is the master of, well, he's not the master of that either, but he's quite good at fouling tactically. And then the next breath, another pundit or, you know, fan pundit will say, yeah, but the next minute he'll get sent off for a rash tackle. And then everyone agrees, actually that is true. And you know what they say, absence makes the heart grow fonder. And I wonder if that's what's going on in this case. And so by the time this 3 months is up, everyone would be saying, this guy's the new, I don't know, what would he be? Who's the best tactical fouler ever of all time? I'm not too sure. But there is something to be said for that. He does bring something to the team. And one Arsenal fan said to me that, you know, actually, Xhaka is the best midfield partner for Partey. I'm quite reluctant to agree with it, but based on the Brighton and Spurs performances, I have to say that Arsenal fan is right, that, you know, based on those two performances. But to me, it's based on a lot more than that. And I think, you know, when we had that discussion, and I heard somebody else saying the same thing, how many goals does Xhaka cost you a season? And the answer is probably about 3. And to me, that's quite a shocking statistic in itself. 3 goals doesn't sound that much, but it is a lot when it means you're losing quite a few points as a result. You know, you're gonna drop, instead of 3 points, you get 1, and that happens. So that's 6 points. That could be potentially 6 points. I think it could possibly be more. And that's the issue I got with Xhaka. Even though, yes, he played quite well against Spurs, I can't deny it. He did do quite well. He's had some good games, but I just can't. I really struggle with him, to be honest. When he's playing, I want him to do well. I always want to be wrong with when Arsenal. I want Arsenal players to do well. I don't care about their background. I don't care. Well, I do care. I wish he hadn't thrown the shirt on the floor that time, but let's not go there. I wish lots of things had been different. I even almost wish he'd had a COVID jab, but, you know, he's Xhaka, so, you know, he's immune to criticism, so must be immune to COVID as well. You know, this is... He's a superhero in his own little bubble, you know. But I'm just sort of don't know what would you do? I mean, would you just draft him straight. I know what Arteta's going to do, and you know I'm a big fan of Arteta, but I know he's going to soon, no matter what, if Arsenal were top of the league, Lokonga's playing out of his skin, the first thing Arteta will do as soon as Xhaka is ready or half ready to play, because that's as ready as he ever gets, he's straight back in the team, and that'll be it. That'll be that. And we'll just have to put up with what he brings and what he doesn't bring to the team. Because I think it's a mixture. And he's... And I know always Xhaka bashing, and I do apologise for all these fans out there. Apologise to all those people. But, you know, ultimately, he's just, to me, he's a liability. And you know, what do you do with liabilities? You normally want to get rid, don't you? And Arsenal wants to get rid. That's the whole... I find this whole situation just so bizarre. How we got so close to moving to Roma. Was Roma, wasn't it? Yeah, and then it didn't go through. And then next thing... He's an integral part of the team. You know, how would you feel if you were Lokonga? I suppose you'd accept it, right? Would you accept it? Because of, you know, Lokonga's what, 23? Playing for Belgium, Lokonga, though.
Yeah, Lokonga knows he's got a few years, though. I think with Xhaka is, of course, he must, you know, we bemoan regularly, what does he bring to the team? Well, of course, he must bring something. Like, you know, all of these members signed him, like him, continue to play him despite our sort of, you know, angst and sort of, you know, astoundment, really, sometimes, isn't it? And I think, you know, he brings something that Elneny doesn't bring. He brings something that Lokonga doesn't bring. And I think he brings something that Partey doesn't bring, just like they all bring something to the table. I, you know, I've said before, he, you know, there's a lot of weaknesses that he has. But there must be some strengths, and I think that against the press he has got better over the last 2 years. I think he's listened to Arteta more than some. So I think, yeah, the fact that we noticed that we missed him, you can't really bemoan him for that. Do you know what I mean? And I don't think it's a case of the absence of Hargreaves Lansbury. I think there are certain games where Lokonga should play ahead of Arteta, but I do think there are certain games when Xhaka should play for whatever reason. And Arteta, I'm sure, will have tactical reasons for, or hopefully both. And I think, judging on what we saw on Saturday, that was one of those games where perhaps Jack would have been better suited to the conditions.
And it's hard to disagree with you, actually.
Yeah.
I can't.
I've moaned about it more than most. Well, probably not the most, as much as anyone has. But I have to think, you know, when a player like that, who I can't stand, and like you say, we wanted to get rid of him, he wanted to leave. And that, I think, points more at Arsenal's sort of amateur fucking hour that they are guilty of at times, especially when it comes to transfers. And that's not an Arteta thing. That's been Arsenal. You know, we've been terrible at transfers for years. It feels like a terrible transfer. Anyway, so I think, you know, he does a bit about this.
All right, I think you've cut out.
How you feel about this, Joe?
What about...
I would say he's our second best midfielder at the club, which is a painfully horrible thing for me to say. But, you know, he brings something that other players don't. You know, and I think Lokonga will hopefully replace him, I hope, by the end of the season. He'll be the go-to guy. But part of me thinks maybe Lokonga is back up for Partey, and I think they need another midfielder. I think, you know, certainly defensively, I think we're a bit more thickened out. I think attacking-wise, Uber and Laka will probably go. We'll need strikers next year.
But yeah, it looks like Laka's going
to get. Yeah, I would be surprised if he's... Because he's not even playing that, is he?
No, I mean, he came on. He did okay. A lot of people were happy with his performance. I wasn't unhappy with it. He certainly looked quite lively. Yeah,
he offered something different that I think Aubameyang wasn't offering.
Yeah, the trouble with Oba is, you know, they, as you rightly said, you know, they weren't getting the ball to him in the way that he wants to receive the ball. It wasn't happening, you know. Whose fault is that? It's not one individual.
yeah, he's never going to beat some fucking lump, is he? In the air.
No, that's
and
not.
And I think that's that. They were doing that, not through choice, but because they had no other option.
So and let me ask you this. Would you sign players like, you know, like Duffy, for example? I know he's a defender, but this guy's a lump, really. He's a relatively skillful lump. You know, would you start signing players like that, or at least have a couple in the team for games like Brighton away, Burnley away, which obviously Arsenal won, but you know, it was a bit touch and go. Would you have a couple of lumps in the team for, you know, for a plan, instead of like plan A's not working, let's try plan lump. And especially the way the game has changed now, you know, with goalkeepers starting to hit it long. So it's all been this big build up from the back, and now the, you know, plan B is just whack it long and you know, get a second ball. But the thing is, Arsenal can't really battle against a team like Brighton, even though, yeah, they've got more battling qualities than what they once had, but still they always second best. If it's going to be a brawl, Arsenal are not going to beat many teams at that, are they? Let's be honest. You know, who looks like a brawler? Ramsdale, Gabriel. Yeah. Now I've run out of names. I mean, guys like Smith Rowe are not going to be scared of anyone, I don't think, because he gives off that aura. But he's not a brawler, is he? He's a skill merchant. But he won't get involved if people try and. That's one of the things I love about Smith Rowe. I've got to say this, is when people try and rough him up, he just sort of brushes it off like it's nothing. I think that's. I'm so impressed with that guy. I mean, Saka's similar. I mean, he's getting kicked from pillar to post. Not particularly against Brighton. But you know the other thing? Referees just don't really... I know I shouldn't start going on about referees, but I don't think they really protect Arsenal very much. Certainly not away from home. And especially with the crowds coming back. So that all of a sudden, all these away games that once looked... relatively easy now look extremely difficult, you know, because yeah, Brighton's not the most raucous. They never had the most raucous crowd in the world, but they can be noisy. And I'm not sure. I think there was a decision that I questioned. I think Smith Rowe went down, didn't he, in the box? Did you see that? And then when it Duffy that came across him and gave him a bit of a shove, I mean, to me that was a penalty. I'm not saying many people would agree with me on it, by the way, because I don't think many would. But there was, from what I could see, it seemed like the feed I was getting, they didn't really want to replay that very much, so I didn't see it much. But to me, if you get a shove, you're running with the ball and you get a shove. Okay, it didn't look like he was going to score, but he had the ball when it was in the box and he gets a shove in the back. To me, that's a penalty. And did you see that incident?
Didn't see that incident. No.
Yeah.
I think
it went down a little easy, I have to say, but it was a shove. A little bit of a shove. It was just a little tiny bit of a shove to put him off balance. So I don't understand why that's not a penalty, because then just a few minutes later, I forget which Arsenal player did it, but an Arsenal player did a similar sort of thing on a Brighton player and he gave a free kick. It was almost identical, and I just thought, this is so typical. This kind of thing happened against Brentford, and now here it is happening again. But part of me thought Arsenal might sneak a draw here, because I just don't, you know, Brighton are huffing and puffing. Yes, Brighton are the better team, but it's just Ramsdale just gives me confidence. So if he's giving me confidence, he must be giving so much confidence to the back four. They must just go, this guy, you're going to have to do something to beat him, because he's just like you said, he talks to the players so they know where he is all the time. Whereas Leno is like a librarian, you know, he's just sort of wandering around, you know, I don't know what he's doing sometimes. I don't dislike Leno. I don't want to make it sound like that. I don't dislike him at all. I think he's a very good goalkeeper. But yeah, I just can't forget about again. But it goes back to the refereeing as well. The Brentford goal shouldn't have stood, really shouldn't have stood when he got pinned down. But the thing is, in a sense, I don't think Ramsdale would have let that go so easily. I think he would have been ranting and raging at the referee to do something about it. But Leno just seemed to just accept it. So Well, maybe all the Arsenal players just accepted it. I just couldn't believe it. I mean, how could they just accept? I'm not advocating arguing with referees, because normally that gets you nowhere. But when a guy's been pinned down like Leno was against Brentford, I mean, it was like wrestling. It wasn't football. That was wrestling, you know. And I just can't. I mean, the Brighton game wasn't like that. Luckily, it wasn't quite to the same level of, you know, of brutality.
They're just not very talented. I think, yeah, they tried to play football, but you know, and they had their way, their style of playing football. I don't think that they're physical, yeah, but I don't think Arsenal, you said about, do Arsenal need to buy big lumps? But no, and I'll tell you why, because we already have them. You know, we weren't intimidated. We didn't lose. We didn't bottle it like we did against Brentford, arguably, because we've got people like Ramsdale and Gabriel. And where would these big lumps play? Do we need another lumpy centre-half? No. Partey isn't shy. We didn't get bullied.
Yeah, that's true.
From midfield. I think we got tactically bettered, you know, and I think we weren't able to defeat the press. I don't think we were physically outmuscled. They're always going to kick lumps. Players. People like Saka and people like Smith-Rowe have to get used to that. And I think, yeah, they slowly are. Well, you know, you're not going to put a big lump up front, are you? I think our tactics. I think our tactics against Brentford, against Brighton, so it just didn't work, and we didn't change it. And you know, like the old saying goes, isn't it? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting different results. And Arsenal didn't really adapt to Brighton. And, you know, in the end, yeah, I think they were fortunate to get a draw. They battled, though. And that is one thing that, you know, with Ramsdale, and I think Gabriel isn't, you know, small fry either. And I think Ben White's okay. Like, you know, everyone goes, he gets pushed off the ball, but, you know, he wins his duels. And, you know, like I said, for all the posturing that Brighton did, yeah, they only had two shots on goal. There wasn't that many chances where you would say, oh, fucking hell, they nearly scored. There's a couple, but you would expect that when you're away from home. You know, they didn't take them. So I think, you know, I don't think we need to worry too much. I think we're going to play against these big clunky teams here and there. That's just the nature of the beast, isn't it? That's, you know, the Premier League does have a few of them. Just like it has a few, yeah, quite a few. Just like it has lots of good footballing teams, and you need to be able to adapt to the opposition. And I don't think, that's something Wenger never really did, was it? You know, he never really adapted to the opposition. We're going to play our way, whether you like it or not. I don't think that works. I don't think we've got the team to do that. I think we have to sort of, on occasion, have to
move it around. Yeah, I think. I'm still pro Arteta, as you know. I had my doubts after three defeats. Start of the season, I was beginning to doubt him, but I've backed him on everything. Even, you know, he's outed players that I really like. Guendouzi, I was a big fan. You know, the Greek boy, Mavrapanos. I was such a big fan that I couldn't even pronounce his name, but. He wasn't like he shouldn't be a starter, but I just liked him around, and he's doing quite well apparently. Guendouzi's not doing too badly. Saliba's not doing too badly. So I'm just I don't know. My thoughts are,
and
Arteta's got rid of some good players, but I think he's got rid of them for some reason that I don't know about. So I trust him on that. You know, I think he's got rid of them for maybe something to do with team spirit. Maybe it's to do with that. Maybe he doesn't like the way they, you know, the way they sort of hold themselves, or, you know, the way they sort of parade around in training. He's not impressed with it. I don't know. It's like Saliba, though. Do you think Saliba's ever going to come back and be an Arsenal player? Because seriously, I don't think so.
I don't know. I think his ego's probably been hurt a little bit. He's playing well. I've seen similar reports that, you know, he's been playing well in France. So we'll have to wait and see, really, won't we? I hope he plays, because I think he's got the potential to be a good player. And, you know, I think he fits what Arteta wants. You know, he's a bit of a baller for a centre-half, which I think is what Arteta's after. Arteta wants centre-halves that can play football. You know, that's why Ben White, I don't know if you saw it, there's a clip from about a year ago when we played Liverpool and we lost 3-1 at Anfield. I don't know if you remember the game. And Arteta said, in that clip, he goes, oh, you know, they've got centre-halves that can pass the ball 80 yards. And then you see this year, a year to the day, he's got Ben White. And, you know, Ben White is a centre-half that can pass the ball. So I think, you know, going back to what you said about getting lumps, I think we're better than that. And, yeah, let's see. I think the next phase of the season, the next few games, before the Liverpool game, he's got to carry on this goodwill, carry on this momentum. Liverpool's going to be difficult. As long as they don't get their fucking ass handed to them, I think most people will be okay. As long as they turn up. Not like Man City. But I think the first few games, those first four games after the international break, will be a case of, right, you know, we're expecting to see good performance. We're expecting to see a continuation of the good things that Arsenal have been doing. And if we don't, why? So, we'll wait and see.
Right, I guess we'll leave it there then. So let's play the music. What's left of it. Okay, so I want to say adios, amigos, and that's a nice way to end.